You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Tank wisely.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Are we going to tank? Meaning the Patriots?
Yeah, it's happening.
And I keep telling them, they are not. Because Belichick doesn't tank, man.
Today's guests: Bengals wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase, Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence, Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman, writer, director, and comedian Robert Smigel. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku channel, where I'm checking to see if this sweater fits right. For those in the radio audience, it's mauve, purple. It looks great. I'm feeling great about myself today, and I hope you are too, wherever you are. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on this program. The 13th week of the NFL season begins tomorrow night between the Seahawks and the Cowboys. Frequently, we're focused on Monday Night Football here because we have an affiliation with Westwood One. I'm the host of Monday Night Football on Westwood One. The week ends with the Bengals and the Jaguars. We only have Ja'Marr Chase and Trevor Lawrence on this program. How does that sound to you? And then Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
I've got questions.
Robert Smigel is here.
I've got questions.
He is also a co-writer, co-director, and also wrote the music in the hit animated comedy on Netflix, which you can see here on Roku, called Leo. I'm sure many of you with kids out there have already seen Leo. Robert Smigel will be here. He also is one of the Swirsky brothers. It's going to be a dynamite conversation in hour number three. Don't miss it. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you, sir?
Great, Rich. What's up?
Jay Felly's in for Mike Del Tufo. There you go. How are you?
I'm good. How are
Where's
you?
Where's Del Tufo today?
TJ,
colonoscopy.
Oh, is that right?
I have no idea.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
I was like, jeez.
My God.
It's like
are you saying the first elective surgery that comes to mind? What's going on over there, TJ Jefferson? How are you, sir?
You know, trying to figure out this NBA tournament.
Just yeah, well, we're going to discuss that on this program. Bruce Feldman's on this program, everybody. He's on this program coming up in hour number two. Fresh back from Ann Arbor, Michigan. What happened there this past weekend, I wonder? Can't wait to hear some of the inside information on that.
You still feeling good?
Oh, God, please. Every day it's better. Every day is better than the day before.
Chris, you think J.J. McCarthy is now kid number six now?
Oh,
for the Eisen household?
Ooh, good one.
I mean, if I'm collecting quarterbacks.
Good question.
Yeah. I feel like Dion. I need to rank my quarterback sons, right? Hey, everybody, the conversation in college football today is what's going through the brains of the college football playoff committee, because the final four and the rankings after the final four going into the final weekend of college football's campaign came out last night. And look who's number one. That would be Georgia. And Michigan and Washington and Florida State are your four. And that makes sense. They're all the 12-0 teams. We can have a conversation about the order of that in a second. And then you've got a quartet of 11-1 teams. And that's where we start to talk about the order of these things. Oregon is at five. And Oregon plays Washington for the Pac-12 championship on Friday night. They're first up. That's a pretty darn big football game, I would think. Certainly because Washington and Oregon's first contest was one of the best games of the year. Washington won that at the very end, and Oregon is, I think, maybe playing some better football since then than Washington, but that won't matter when they play each other on Friday night. And one would think the winner of that game is in because Washington's 3 and Oregon's 5. And whoever wins that game will either stay put, depending on other results, or and if Oregon wins, they go up to 3, and Washington would be out. That looks like that's in for a college football playoff spot. Texas, which beat Alabama, is above Alabama. Now, that makes sense, right? Because Texas beat Alabama. Texas is 7. Alabama's 8. But look who's 6. Look who's 6. That would be the Ohio State University. I want to be respectful.
Why?
Because they're the Ohio State. That's what they wish to be called. Even though they're home on the couch this weekend, they are at 6. While Oregon plays for the Pac-12 championship and Texas plays Oklahoma State for the Big 12 championship, and then Alabama actually gets to play Georgia. 8-1 for the SEC championship. And Florida State plays Louisville for the ACC championship. And Michigan plays Iowa for the Big 10 championship. Now then, Oregon sitting there at 5 and Ohio State at 6, above Texas and Alabama. So does that mean, again, if Oregon wins, they're in, Washington's out. And if Florida State, with its backup quarterback, which has not proven to be a ton of clean football for Florida State, but all that matters is the clean sheet under the L column for them. Does that mean a Florida State loss means Ohio State is welcome to the 4th and final playoff spot? Since they're at 6 right now, All that needs to happen is perhaps out of all the results to happen this weekend, Alabama beating Georgia, Texas, you know, losing to Oklahoma State, for instance, Michigan losing to Iowa, and Florida State losing to Louisville. What's the most likely of those results? If you had to place your marker, this is most likely to happen. I think you'd place your marker on Florida State losing to Louisville, right? More than Michigan losing to Iowa.
Yeah.
Okay, Georgia losing to Alabama. That's likely, but is it less or more likely than Florida State losing to Louisville? Oregon beating Washington, Washington losing to Oregon, Texas losing to Oklahoma State. The most likely result, 100%, you cannot dispute this, is that Ohio State will be home on the couch this weekend. Outside looking, watching television as everybody else competes for its conference title. Are you telling me that's what it is? Because if that's what it is, you've got to be kidding. And this is nothing to do with me and my school. 0.0 to do with it. It happens every year, it seems, where somebody that's sitting at home can potentially make the college football playoffs over a team that's not sitting at home. Because if that's the case, if that's what they're indicating, that right now there's only one team separating Ohio State with the college football playoffs, I think that's nuts. I think that's totally nuts.
And I understand why you think that's nuts, and it is nuts on the surface. But I think Ohio State, this is just my opinion, I think they're kind of locked. They're locked here. They don't have any other games to play.
I'm aware of that.
And so Texas, by winning, don't you think they would jump them if Florida State loses? Because they're playing.
Then why aren't they in front of Ohio State right now?
I don't know. I'm not on the committee, Rich. It'd be great if I was. I'd have to miss
so
a few more.
Why not put Ohio State at 8?
I'm not sure because, well, Ohio State was undefeated. Texas and Alabama had losses.
They now have the same number of losses.
But you're going to drop them all the way from 2 to 9?
Why not?
I don't know. That seems like a pretty big fall for a team that's been really good all year.
So then you place them in a spot where they believe they're better than Texas and Alabama.
Maybe right now, today, on November 29th. But
right
after this weekend, if Texas and Alabama are both 12-1,
right,
12 greater than 11, their wins better than Ohio State, so they would be higher.
So are you saying there's an entity out there that ranks teams on a list and takes a look at where they rank them, maybe lower currently than the teams that they're mixed in right now, but certain results
just come out and say what you're saying. Just say it.
Like, this is the way I do my power rankings.
Instead of like,
they're his.
That's what I'm saying. It's exactly the way I do my power rankings you have a problem with.
Power rankings.
That's exactly what's going to happen in hour three when you're going to be chirping at me.
I do have doing a my problem power with rankings. By the way, I bet you have the Ravens higher this week. You bet I do.
You bet I do. That's coming in hour three.
Okay.
I want to wait now.
The college football playoff committee.
I'm not saying that I don't have a problem with this list. I mean, clearly I wouldn't have Ohio. I don't think Ohio State, if they played Texas today or Alabama, they'd probably lose. But they also can't go anywhere. They don't have any more games left.
Exactly. But why put them where they're putting them? Other than to indicate all that has to happen is the teams in front of them lose and they're first up to go.
I'm not looking at it like that.
How can you not?
Well, because like I just said two other times, like
the college football
Texas
playoff
and
committee
Alabama have games left so they can get to 12 wins. Ohio State is stuck at 11. They're not getting any more.
So 12-1 beats 11-1.
And winning your conference championship.
It should.
Yeah.
Then why don't you indicate that going into the weekend? What's the point?
I don't think it matters.
You're just giving Ryan Day an attaboy? Are they really just taking the Ohio State team, circling around them, and then I guess the college football playoff committee would be blowing a whistle while they all hop up and down to keep them hyped? Is that what's happening? Like, see, honestly, that, why else possible. Are we doing
I'm
this?
I'm not here for your pettiness, but like...
Oh, I am.
Me too.
You are?
Yeah.
Where am I? Am I Lori? Am I Richard? Or am I Tom?
I just knew you were Richard, man.
I just think
king.
It is what it is. This year is a real unique situation because, you know, we've got a team that's been undefeated all year who is now without one of their best players. So I wouldn't say the committee is hoping that they lose to Louisville to make it a little bit easier.
And
but
let me tell you why Michigan's 2, in my estimation, and not 1, even though they have beaten fewer ranked teams than Georgia, and they have just come up with the win of the year in all of college football against the highest ranked opponent anybody has faced in college football and beaten them, and clearly is valued so much by the committee that they've placed them in front of two teams competing for their championships this year, and you believe will be fixed where they are. This is just like an attaboy, you're 6th, no matter what. Okay, be that as it may, the reason why I believe Michigan is at 2 and not 1 is because Georgia's won a billion games in a row, and they're two-time defending champs, and they're giving a tip of the cap to them. And I think they need to keep Michigan at 2 because what I think they're setting up is for if all results do happen, they want to have a Rose Bowl, which is hosting one of the national championship semifinal games, as an actual traditional Rose Bowl before the rest of the world ends, as we know it, in college football with 12 teams next year and no Pac-12 anymore, and have a contest like an old school Rose Bowl, Pac-12 champ, Big Ten champ. That's what they want. And then they'll have an old school Sugar Bowl in New Orleans, SEC champ, Florida State. Like, that sounds like, Bobby Bowden should show up there.
Or Texas, maybe, if Texas loses.
Sure. Like, that's what they're looking for in the college football national semifinal games.
And those would be the
New Orleans
four best teams,
and in Pasadena. Sure. That's what I believe they're trying to set up right now. Because they don't want Georgia and Alabama to play again in the first round of the playoffs. And they don't want Michigan and Ohio State to play again in the first round of the playoffs. So they got to set this thing up, which is what I'm saying, is they're setting it up. And you're saying they're setting it up to have one of the teams competing for the Big 12 and SEC championship games leapfrogging a team that's at home. And I'm saying they're setting it up to put Ohio State in. And if I'm Texas, at least they're above Alabama on this list. They beat them. So that's the whole point. It's just like what's deserved and what's best. It's a bunch of nonsense, which is just give me the 12 teams already.
Yeah, but
Give me the 12 teams already. Enough of this. This is so stupid.
You're right. And by us having this conversation, we're doing what the committee sets out to do single week leading up to it is create some kind of debate. It really, the only thing that matters is the ranking on Sunday.
Right.
The final ranking.
And how to view this. Is this a roadmap to how they view the rankings to come based on the results they expect? Or do they just throw it in as a snapshot for the moment and lead it to be discussed?
Yeah, that's
power rankings.
I don't want to defend your power rankings because
I think they're
kind of bogus. But like, I guess to be consistent, they are a snapshot of the moment, which I think this college football ranking
and they're
is.
Mine.
I mean, they are yours.
How do I get on the committee? You want to be on the competition committee? Great. I'm for that.
Guess what?
Put me on the college football ranking.
You can have it now because it doesn't mean anything anymore.
Oh, wow.
Because it's what is it going to be? It's going to be arguing about who the 12th team is in?
That's a big deal.
Who's the sixth at large, which will mean something. Yeah. That's what we'll be discussing next year.
Home games. That matters.
Bye weeks.
Yeah, that matters.
Home games matter. Come on.
But that made no sense to me. And one last thing. You want me to talk about the elephant in the room, which you thought I was talking about?
That's okay. What I thought you were talking about.
No, I was talking about I'm defending my power rankings, not my school. Yeah. But in all honesty, you bet I don't want to face Ohio State again. 1,000,000% I don't want to face them again. I said that last year, and I'll say it again right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because you do not want to face another team twice. Ask the Philadelphia Eagles. Do they want to go to Dallas in 2 weeks if they couldn't? They just want to say, we beat you. That's it. End of story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hell no. You don't want to see a diehard rival a second time with your plays that you already put out there. You don't want to do that. Yeah. And guess what's going to have to happen in the future? This will happen at some point.
Yeah, you said this earlier.
Michigan,
I was kind of like, whoa.
Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia. Just name any diehards, right, in the same conference. Because in the new setup, with 12 teams coming, they're still keeping the conference championship games.
I don't know.
So it's entirely possible, because it's just going to be, say, in the Big Ten, one huge mosh pit. Michigan and Ohio State will play in the horseshoe next year, right? And the winner of that game and the loser of that game, it won't matter. They're both going to the Big Ten championship game because the rest of the league doesn't have as a conference as good a record. That you'll know going into that final game.
That they're just going to play again.
It's just like one of those Week 18, old school Week 17 games that you know you're facing that rival the next week. Ugh. And what does it matter? And you don't want to show them everything. And you go through all that. And then the conference championship game will be just for seeding and who gets a bye. And then you play them. You'll both go to the playoffs. And you might play for a third. We might see college football rivals play 3 times in a year. That may be coming up. So if the issue was reversed.
I don't like that.
Would you want, like, if Georgia plays Alabama in the final game of the year and they're playing each other in the SEC championship game?
And then they
would you
around.
Want to see them again? No.
No.
Hell no. You want to see them for a third time?
No, thanks.
Of course not.
I mean, unless these games are awesome. Then...
Well, but you have no rooting interest. You don't want to face a team a second time. So.
It's like when the Ravens and Steelers play again in the playoffs. We've seen this already.
A third time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's always tough. It's the toughest games to play.
Yeah.
You don't want to face. You face someone else. All right. My 2 cents. Jamar Chase, everybody.
Let's do it.
Yes.
He's always open.
That's right. He's always effing.
Always, yeah.
Well, unlike you, I don't work blue.
Okay.
So. I'm wearing blue.
Should I introduce him that way?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you going to say it?
Huh?
Are you going to say it, though?
No.
Come on. Say it.
What's the matter with you? We'll take a break. Jamar Chase of the Cincinnati Bengals getting set to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Coming up next. You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply. All right, folks, let's talk about game time and let's talk about buying tickets to big time events because it can be worrisome, it can be time consuming, and it can be expensive. So Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You can see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They have all-in prices that show you your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. And how easy is it to use? You can buy tickets on Game Time in seconds with two taps, and there's a Game Time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is so awesome. I use it. You should as well. For sports, music, comedy, did I mention theater events? All near you. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, it's so easy, and use code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, our radio audience returns in a little less than 2 minutes is when we'll bring in our esteemed guest from Cincinnati. The great Jamar Chase. It's so rare to interview somebody you're going against in fantasy in the upcoming week.
Oh, interesting.
How do I handle that? As a professional, by the way, as a lead pipe wielding professional.
I mean, Rich, you can't see it, but Jamar's laughing in the box.
Is he really laughing?
Yeah, he's laughing.
Okay, all right. Sure, bring him in. Bring him in right now. Bring him in right now.
Bring him in right now.
How do I handle this, Jamar? Like, don't hurt me? Is that the first thing I should say to you in the interview? Is that what I should say?
I don't think that's going to work. I don't let off you.
Jamar's like, look, you're in trouble.
Yeah, it's going down. Sorry, Rich.
I mean, and you're on a Monday night, too, so you can have the last word. You know what I mean? You can have the last word. What do I do?
Ruin his week, Jamar.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to do what I do best.
You must hear this a lot, though, right? You must hear this sort of stuff a lot about fantasy football?
Fantasy stuff, yes, all day, yeah.
Okay, because you heard Justin, you know, your college teammate, basically come out and say, I'm not coming back till I'm healthy. I don't care about your fantasy teams, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, it's obvious you don't care about mine, Jamar. I think that's been established at the outset of our interview right here. I understand. Okay.
No harm.
No harm. Okay. It's easy for you to say. I need this dub, man. I need this dub.
I need this dub.
Me too.
Jamar's dub's a little bit more important.
Oh, the reality. You're bringing the real into this.
Dub's a little more important.
I didn't know the real really existed. Okay.
In the fantasy football
world. All right. Very good. All right. Jamar Chase is here on the Rich Eisen Show, getting set to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars on Monday Night Football, and I'll be in the Monday Night Football radio booth for that one, studio for that one. Jamar Chase is here on the Rich Eisen Show, and it's good to see you, sir. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So I'm glad to see you right here on the program, and this confirms, I'm saying for my radio audience, you are effing open right now. You are right there.
Man.
Yeah, right? Okay. Did you get anybody in your world reaching out to you when you were talking about being always effing open? Anybody say anything to you after that, Jamar?
I mean, what kind of people are we talking about?
I don't know. Loved ones are like hearing you work blue in front of the cameras into the microphones. Anybody?
I mean, yeah, family was laughing at me a lot. You know what I'm saying? They know I talk like that, but they didn't know I was going to do it on air like that.
Well, I mean, at the time, a lot of people were taking that as frustration from your point of view. Where did that statement come from, Jamar, back then?
It was just, me giving my answer and telling the media that I'm open. I felt like they were saying that I'm not open or I can't get open. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So my only response was to come with my confidence and saying that I'm always open.
And so you still are right now, correct?
Yeah, whenever I'm not double teamed, yeah, and triple teamed.
Double teamed and triple teamed. Is that what you saw against the Steelers this past week?
The Steelers threw some good defenses at us, you know what I'm saying? End of the last possession we had, it threw a crazy defense in front of me, didn't really know what it was.
Okay. And now, in just to mix sports metaphors here, you have been thrown a curveball with Joe Burrow now being gone for the season. What can you tell me about your relationship with Jake Browning and what you are doing to get things up to as best of speed as possible on that front, Jamar?
Yeah, so right now, you know, me and Jake been talking a good bit. Just any type of relationship we can have on routes, any coverages we see for real, letting him know what I feel on certain routes. And if I want to change my route up, you know, he lets me do it. You know, we've had that discussion on the sideline. You know, I told him if you want to, you know, check it, change my route, you know what I'm saying? I'm cool with that. So right now we're just getting a feel with each other, you know, for the first game, last game, you know, I think we did a decent job. You know, it could always be better as a whole unit, but, you know, it's still room to grow.
And then when it comes to it, obviously that was his first career start, but he's got a ton of experience from his college days in Washington. What are you seeing from him already that gives you an indication that he does have it and that you can still win some football games with him at quarterback, Jamar?
Yeah, for the most part, he shows he's a fighter. I think that's the main thing that we need in a quarterback is a fighter, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't give up, and he's always trying to make a play, you know what I'm saying? Extend the play, make a play. And, you know, he does it with his legs, and he do it through the air, you know? And you see him make plays like that with Joe, and, you know, he makes his own plays. Not that Joe's not here.
Right. And what's he like? What was he like in the huddle that might give you the confidence here, Jamar?
Yeah, him coming in and just knowing the plays, you know what I'm saying? Because the plays a lot. Maybe it get a little longer here and there now. So, you know, it's up to him knowing those. And even if he messes up, you know, some guys are still there to help him make sure it's corrected. If not on him, then it's on our part of knowing it ourselves.
What can you tell me how Joe Burrow is doing? I know he had surgery on Monday.
Yeah, Joe Burrow's good, man. You know, he's not even worrying about his surgery. He's worrying about jumping out of a plane with a parachute right now. So,
what do you mean?
Yeah. Well, I asked him how his surgery was going, and Jake asked him how his surgery was going, and Joe didn't even act like he had surgery. He started to talk about jumping out of an airplane with a parachute.
Like okay. So when you said this, I honestly thought for a second this was like a metaphor.
No, I'm serious.
Like, okay. I must ask a follow up question, Jamar.
Yeah.
What the hell are you talking about? What?
That was my answer when Joe said that to me, and I heard this.
So he's legitimately saying, hey, now that I've got some free time, I'd like to parachute out of an airplane. Is that what you're saying?
Well, he was saying, I wonder why all people don't have parachutes in airplanes. That was his thought.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay. So he's not actually attempting. So he's just.
No, I don't think he'd do that. I wouldn't let him do that.
Are you saying the anesthesia had not worn off yet from the surgery? I don't understand. Like, what's he talking about?
Yeah, with Joe, he's just all over the place. I don't think he's worried about his surgery. I think he's worried about everyone else.
Okay. So, all right. How about this? Maybe Jake Browning's the parachute. How about that, Jamar?
Hey, that's a good one right there. I like that.
Maybe this is his metaphor. Jake Browning's the parachute here, and everything's going to be fine. How about that?
That's a good one. I like it.
There you go. Run with it. Take it. Don't worry about it. That's yours, Jamar. It's yours. But I do love his attitude. I do love Joe's like cool attitude. Like, what's the coolest you've ever seen him when you're like, oh my God, I can't believe he's being that cool right now, Jamar, from both levels of football, either level of football that you've played with him on?
I think the coolest moment I think I've seen him when he came out with the, I think it was around Halloween season when everyone started dressing up as him with the Cartier glasses on. He had the Joey B Nike chain with a vest on. I think that was one of his coolest moments. He just came through just feeling himself, looking spliff, looking good.
Okay. And did it take a while for you to believe it with him, or it was just you're like, okay, I got it. I'm with it.
You know, with Joe, man, I just be letting him feel himself, man. If he's feeling like that guy at the moment, you know, he doesn't always show, you know, when he shows that swagger, but I'm definitely rolling with him if he's rolling like that.
Okay, sounds good. Do you think you're going to be rolling with him for the rest of your career, Jamar? What do you think?
Yeah, I think I got a chance to, man. It's real high. You know what I'm saying? That's my guy. We both want to be around each other for a long time.
Right, exactly right. And are you already thinking about that next contract at this point in time for you?
all right.
It's on my mind, but right now, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get these yards, get this team moving forward, get this win going. So
I got you.
That'll be there sooner or later.
No, I know that, but you also have a teammate from college that can go first and set a standard, right? You talk to him about that at all?
Nah, man. He's actually pretty hard to get in touch with.
What?
Yeah, he's pretty hard to get in touch with.
What? Justin is not returning calls?
Hey, Justin, if you see this, man, give me a phone call, please, bro.
What's up with that?
Whoa.
He's not returning your calls? That may be the biggest great breaking news of this entire conversation. Because obviously, if he goes first, then you go right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we got some numbers to talk about.
That's right. That parachute is made of gold, Jamar. See what I'm saying? Okay. What does playing on Monday Night Football mean to you? What do you got for me on that before I let you go?
Yeah. Honestly, to me, every game is a nice game. It's just important because it's the next opponent. But having an opportunity to play on Monday is a great feeling, especially with the only team that's going to play, I think. Maybe one other team. So just having an opportunity to have the whole world watching us and show what we could do on Monday Night Football is the best feeling.
Are you playing the nobody believes in this card? Anybody? You? Anybody in the locker room? What do you got for me on that front?
Yeah, I don't even know. I've never even heard of that. I know we believe in what we have in this locker room, and everyone's sticking together in, you know, one team, one heartbeat right now.
Well, I mean, you know the drill. I mean, when somebody loses their quarterback, one would think that the team has less of a chance, and then when that quarterback's Joe Burrow, that's where we go, you know, in the media. How do you respond to that?
I mean, it's the number one pick. You know what I'm saying? Everyone's going to have their opinions. But, you know, at the moment, it's football, man. You're going to have injuries. You got to know how to overcome adversity. And Jake is the next guy up, and we're going to put him on front stand and make him lead this team.
All right, last one for you, Jamar Chase. It was difficult for me to unsee this, and I'm wondering if you've seen it. And if not, then you will not be able to unsee it, and I need your comment on it. I saw a certain person from your past jogging and boxing without a shirt on in a video for some I don't know what's going on with Ed, but what'd you think of when you saw this picture of your old ball coach from LSU, Jamar?
Hey, honestly, this is nothing new for me. You know what I'm saying? And when I was staying on campus, I used to wake up early some days and see him jogging, going towards the levee, and he'd be running some days. So
without a shirt,
Without a shirt. Yeah, he's just. That you do it all the time. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing new.
Okay. So you're not fazed by it? It's something for me that, by the way, I'm very impressed. I mean, that's serious right there. That's him, right?
That's all him. That's all him, man. All him.
Okay. Well, I mean, I understand Baton Rouge, you might be hot, so I understand that. But there he is.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's always hot in Baton Rouge, so that's probably why he's
in there. Okay. Very good. Thank you. I understand. I understand a lot more things than when we first started. All right, Jamar, take it easy on me, okay? Take it easy on my fantasy team Monday night, will you please? This is
no
important.
Promises.
Say it again? What'd you say?
No promises. No promises.
All man. Right. All right, you do you, Jamar.
Jamar Chase.
Okay, you take care of my fine and I got you.
You're fine.
Oh.
I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? Suddenly a new phone. Okay, very good. Take care, Jamar. Be well.
I appreciate y'all.
You bet. The great Jamar Chase, Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, that was great.
You know, it's one of those things where you're interviewing somebody, right? Uh-huh. And then it's just like, what? What do you mean he's talking about parachuting out of airplanes?
I was like, wait, what?
But he wasn't like... Because I had to keep following up. It wasn't as if Joe Burrow was coming in like, hey, Joe, how are you doing? And he starts like, you know, hey, you know what I'm planning on doing? I'm just going to just put on a parachute and jump out of an airplane. Because I believe there must be some fine print from the Brown family towards his direction that prevents such a thing in a contract. But that's where you have to follow up. But he's sitting there thinking about... Why doesn't everyone have a parachute in a plane?
I've thought that
now,
many times.
That
is he talking about commercial aircraft?
Private aviation?
I
got to imagine Joe Burrow's not flying commercial these days, but perhaps.
He's just Joe from Athens, pal.
He's a regular Joe. You know?
All right. So.
It's a good idea.
I've always thought that.
All right. Let's put American Football Conference standings. Do you mind, please? Because the Cincinnati Bengals, I proffer to say this, they need a win out.
or come damn near close to it, because their issue isn't just what you see on the screen, and you could check out right there in on our radio. I'll say for you, the Bengals are 11th right now in the playoff standings. They are 11th in the American Football Conference, and their major problem out of everything is their conference record. Division record is terrible too, because again, division, when you're straight up in a tie break, they break all division ties first. And they've got not one but two teams in their division residing in two of the three wild card spots in the AFC. So they would lose any tie break that they're straight up with the Steelers and the Browns. Because, you know, Cleveland beat them in week one. They don't have a single division win. And they have only one conference win. How about that? Their one conference win is home against Buffalo. So that's the only team that they could be currently like matched up with in the wild card standings, because the division's gone. The Ravens have the most wins in the conference, four better than them, you know, and they have swept the season series from them. So that's gone. Conference gone. Wild card's their only spot. And they've got to win out. You know what I mean? They've got to finish 11-6 and hope that the Browns and the Steelers don't have 11 wins.
It's gonna be tough.
And that one of the only other 11 win teams that they're tied with is Buffalo. Buffalo has to win out to get to 11-6 themselves.
You think it's going to be 11 wins for the 6-7 seeds?
No, I'm just extrapolating out. Okay. Even if they get to, I think it'll be 10, don't you think?
I think 10 is the minimum.
I think 10 in the AFC, I think 9 in the NFC.
Agreed.
Which is amazing, because a lot of people think the NFC is the tougher of the conferences.
But there's a lot of, you know, there's what, 7 teams kind of in the mix still in the NFC?
That's... conference record 1-6.
That's rough.
The tie breaks are not in any way, shape, or form in Cincinnati's favor. It's not even close to being flipped to be in their favor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the problem for them. And then there's, again, their schedule at Jacksonville, home for Indianapolis, which, by the way, looks to have no Jonathan Taylor for that game. Indianapolis losing Jonathan Taylor to thumb surgery, an injury he played with for a half in Indianapolis's latest win. And they found out Monday night with an MRI, oh gosh, he needs surgery. Shane Steichen saying no IR coming, which means it's going to be less than 4 games. Let's just say it's 2. That means Cincinnati will have Zach Moss to contend with, which, by the way, as just to ask anybody that saw Zach Moss before Jonathan Taylor came back and started being Jonathan Taylor and taking the lion's share of the snaps, he's one of the best productive backs in the league.
Yeah, he's been a beast. Top 10 player this year. Fantasy running back.
Cincinnati is then home for Minnesota, which is a game that may be on NFL Network as well.
Are you doing that game?
I don't know which one I'm doing. I'll find out on the, by the way, this coming weekend.
Nice.
And
that's such a hard schedule.
Cincinnati at Pittsburgh at Kansas City. Good God. Home for Cleveland.
That's brutal.
So. But one at a time. Crazy things have happened. Yep. Jake Browning could start lighting it up, like Jordan Palmer says is within him, even though his first start included an interception that looked very green and turned the tide of a game that Cincinnati was about to take a potential 2-score lead in. You know, or an 8-point lead in, I should say. Never know. Trevor Lawrence coming up at the top of the next hour.
You want the Jets news now or after the break?
After the break, sir. After the break.
Okay.
I'm trying to decipher your look right here. It looks like you're ready to inform me of something that I won't want to hear. I will stay off.
Stay off, please.
Of everything.
Please stay off.
My unvarnished reaction.
Please stay off.
What will be more confusing to me, this news or the in-season NBA tournament and how it works.
Definitely the NBA.
Because we'll talk about that next as well. Yeah.
Definitely the 20.
Which is one? Which is what's more likely?
Both are exciting.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Trevor Lawrence, top of the next hour. Bruce Feldman in studio talking more college football.
Half redneck, half posh, 100% fun. Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester try and learn fancy culture in putting on airs.
The host of the Medium Popcorn Podcast, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown.
Okay, so Paddington 2 had like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes for years.
You guys ruined that?
Justin came in and like took it down like 2 points because of his rating. That's the time we started getting death threats.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I didn't know. People worship that movie.
Putting on airs. The podcast is on YouTube and wherever you listen. The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Back here on the show. How is everybody? I got to send this text.
Oh, good. We're
Take
talking,
it over.
Oh, we're just, TJ and I are just talking fantasy. So we both have the Cowboys defense. And so I was saying, hey, I picked up Green Bay kind of for the playoff run because they play Carolina, the Giants, and Tampa. And then they, if you make it to the championship, they're playing Minnesota, which, as we saw, could be a good defensive matchup. And TJ was saying, look, I've ridden Dallas all year. Even though they play Philly, Miami, and Buffalo in the playoffs,
I don't know
if you want to tinker, but I'm thinking about matchups.
Let me tell you something. As somebody who's a frustrated fantasy player, I've learned the whole business of this is what's stuck all year long. Adapt or die, pal. Don't do it.
Oh, yeah,
you got to play the matchups.
I picked up Green Bay just to kind of stash. I mean, it's for after.
Right. I've got the Ravens
for
D
the stretch run.
I've got the Ravens D, and I guess this is case in point. I shouldn't do that. I streamed the Giants last week, and it looked good. And then the Ravens, I sat because they were taking on the Chargers.
Right.
And they wound up having more points than the Giants D, but you got to be smart about it.
Yeah, but for me, being smart is the Cowboys D has gotten over 12.7 times this year. And, like, I was just telling him.
Yeah, no, I would keep him against Seattle.
I got to keep him the whole way because DeRon Bland, like, I can't take
a whole
a
way
chance.
Against Philadelphia?
Yeah,
and
man.
Buffalo,
careful,
and Miami.
Careful. Careful.
Because what happens if I decide to sit him and I pick up the Giants and then DeRon Bland gets two pick sixes, which Josh Allen throws picks?
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. All right, Chris, what's the news? What do you got for me? What's the Jets news?
Rich, Jets news. They have opened the 21-day practice window for Aaron Rodgers.
All right. Okay. This is remarkable. Number one, let's just call it what it is. The fact that there is a 21-day practice window for a soon-to-be 40-year-old quarterback coming back from an Achilles injury suffered in the first few snaps of the season, entering week 13. At weeks 13, 14, and 15 will be a practice window for this guy is unbelievable. It is just spectacular.
And hey, Ron.
And the
Here, Coach.
Thank you.
The latest example of, a tease. I mean, what else can I tell you? It's a tease. Because the Jets are 4-7, and in the same way I just buried the Bengals in the last segment, they're 4-7. And Tim Boyle needs to come correct against an Atlanta team that plays defense. Jesse Bates is a sniper of the first variety. And Calais Campbell and Atlanta's defense is not the reason why they're 5-6. By the way, first place, Atlanta Falcons. They're 5-6 because their quarterback's too damn inconsistent. Mm. And for whatever reason, they have decided to take I don't know what it is. I was thinking about this the other day, because sometimes I'm staring at the ceiling at night. But Zach Wilson, two picks after Zach, was Kyle Pitts. And I'm, you know, they're waiting on him the same way the Jets are like waiting on Zach. Like, where's the difference maker that was supposed to reimagine the tight end position? Where's that guy?
There's a difference there, though.
Dude, all I'm saying is you pick somebody top five in the NFL draft, they need to be transformative, mm-hmm. period. And if they're not and they have a transformative talent, you got to look around and say, what's the deal? Bijan Robinson, you choose him as high as he is, and we're still waiting. Like, he should be in the same breath as C.J. Stroud as an offensive rookie of the year based on his talent. He should 1,000,000%. And he might be the third guy for the NFL honors
night. Look at what he did last week.
Last 2 weeks he's
right.
been.
So, like, again, it's
that
just.
That should be all year.
But those guys are very dependent.
All I'm saying is this is a better team in Atlanta coming in. And the Jets' defense can affect some serious problems for an offense that has been up and down. Their own quarterback has been making good play here, bad play there, and sometimes another bad play there. That's why they're 5-6, in my estimation. I mean, I'm not watching every snap of Atlanta Falcons football, but I'm watching enough of it.
Well, red zone turnovers. I mean,
there's been mistakes. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Offensive problem. The defense is really good,
defense
man.
Has been really good. But you kind of figured that was a possibility coming into the year with the moves they made in the offseason.
Yeah. So
I am watching.
But they're 4-7, so it's great. So let's want to even give them a win? 5-7? I don't know how it is because they got to get healthier on the offensive line. They really do. But kudos to Rodgers for making it to this point. You know, kudos. And I don't know. Don't you think Tim Boyle needs every last damn snap he can get in advance? Now we're going to start splitting reps? Is that what's happening? Is that I don't know if the practice window is basically he's not getting reps. I don't know what this means is just we're opening it up. Because that means by week 16, you got to make a decision, right?
Feels like he's going to be out there doing individual work, maybe throwing guys on the side. He's not cleared for full game activity.
Right, you're leaving the possibility open.
Yeah,
but that's four in a row. They were 4-3. They're now 4-7, and I'm telling you, man, that week 14 game. Again, it could be particularly ugly. Houston comes in with their second overall draft choice, lighting it up to Tank Dell and doing all sorts of Houston things that they've been doing. That's a particularly frightful situation. And then at Miami, okay. But kudos to Rodgers to getting back in this mix, that this actually happens.
That's
and I thought if this happens, man, hey, the Jets can go on a run, make the playoffs. That ain't happening. I'm not even going to sit here and go there because of how bad it has looked on one side of the ball. And like I said, kudos to Saleh for keeping the team together to this point. So congrats to Rodgers. That is a major accomplishment. What's going on with the NBA in-season tournament? We're set now, right? We're set.
Because pool play is over.
They're using World Cup terminology, which I thought was... You know, because the NBA is all about branding.
Yep.
Thought that's an interesting choice. Let's use World Cup terminology, and let's let everybody who just flips into the game know it's an in-season tournament game because the floor looks completely different. Mm-hmm. No, I'm serious. Like, visually know what's the difference between a regular season game and an in-season tournament game. You immediately know because there's this huge bowling alley in the middle of the... of the floor.
Some of the courts are, you know,
but it's
a little
cool.
Eccentric.
My kids love it. That's what it's about.
I
know
too.
It's not for me. I know it's for the kids.
Yep. And it's for the global game. I mean, you got point differential is a thing. The idea of
it's
an
the same World Cup
tournament.
Pool play.
Yeah, pool play. And look,
knockout. We're now in the knockout phase.
I know we've been kind of poking fun at it a little bit, but the players have bought in, and I think that's the most important thing.
They have.
The games, if you're watching at League Pass every night, you can see the guys are playing a little bit harder during these games than you normally would see in a November NBA slate.
Right. And the $500,000 for every player, you're already hearing the ones that are, you know, drinking Dom after every game, you know, are saying they're going to share it with the 12th man on the bench, the assistant coaches.
James Harden didn't advance. Sorry, Rich. Yeah. Nice.
But put it up one more time if you don't mind. But NBA,
but these are really fun matchups.
The NBA got the Lakers in, and you know,
they got Lakers. So they got a lot of.
They got
star
the Lakers,
power.
The Knicks,
star power.
The yeah. Bucks are in.
Yep.
Like imagine if you Kings, get Lakers Pelicans. Celtics in the finals of this. Like that's
you could have Celtics Lakers conceivably for the first ever in season tournament,
Suns,
and that is going to do a
Lakers,
massive
right.
number.
Yeah. I mean, you know? Even though I don't like either team, that's a big
okay.
thing.
All right.
I think anytime you can get some of your marquee franchises. What if the Knicks going on a run playing? For
Let me ask you
something.
This question. Question for you. This is what rubber meets the road. Let's say Boston plays the Bucks in the semifinal in Vegas, right?
I'm thinking about going.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay. You'd watch that over Patriots and Steelers.
Come on.
Dude, you gotta protect your tank job.
Gotta protect the tank job. Absolutely.
But you don't have to keep vigil on it. You're more interested in the Bucks.
I can watch that on my phone
and the Celtics.
While I'm in Vegas watching the Celtics.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's what the NBA's been looking for. Interest in the sport late November.
Yeah. I think it's exciting. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm in the minority.
Well, in this room, you're not, because I'm with you.
Okay. There you go. Fantastic. That's what they were after. They're after
and
you.
And this is something, look, this is year one of this.
Yeah,
so
it's only going to get better.
You're kind of going to have to build it up.
Here's what it is, too.
And turn Zan, it into a tradition.
Zan walks in the room. He goes, Dad, how come I can't, you know, he's already trying to set his lineup for weeks from now. Because, you know, sometimes iPad time is precious in our household.
Yeah.
And he's just like, how come there's no fantasy next week? I'm like, what are you talking about? The NBA is stopping. Well, the NBA is stopping for a week.
And that is the soccer element of this. Premier League season.
So isn't it
country play?
I know you don't have the bragging rights or the opportunity to win that money for yourself or for your teammates or for your offensive assistant or for your defensive assistant or any assistant coach or trainer or whatever, but everyone else gets, oh, it's a shame I didn't make it. I got a week off, like a week off. You get to be healthy. You know what I mean?
Or you get to accumulate some rust.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's a choice. Stopping the league for a week.
And the NHL has done it for the Olympics. You know,
it's the Olympics. International. Are you putting the in-season tournament on the realm of the Olympics?
People don't care.
You're doing
the
NBA
Olympics.
A big favor, man.
I think the Olympics has lost some luster, don't you?
Definitely. I think it's big, but when I say, look, Carmelo Anthony's won 4 Olympic medals, people look at me like, who cares?
Nobody cares.
I care, but like,
oh my
people
God,
don't.
You guys. Trevor Lawrence coming up.
Are we just holding,
seriously?
Are we holding the NBA water right now?
No. You're fans.
I'm a
you're
fan.
Fans. You're
I'm
you
a
are
fan.
Fans.
My team's really good.
You're fans
in
because
it, so I'm
you
excited.
Just equated the in-season tournament with the Olympics. So that's cool that there would be kids
no,
right
I'm
now.
Just pointing
there are kids
out
right
that
now that are going to some IMG farm mm-hmm. in like
There's
you know in Florida
for
right now. They're stopping their youth. They're stopping their youthful time on planet Earth, leaving their families so one day they could participate in the in-season NBA tournament.
And win $500,000 for four
That's
games
right.
worth
That's
of
right.
work? Yeah, sure.
Okay.
There's precedent for pausing leagues for different types
I understand
of play
that.
And tournaments.
And NBA identified a problem, which is how do they make their sport relevant while the NFL's playing
yep.
in the early parts of their season. And this is, I think, a very inventive, creative idea.
Because their biggest
that they deserve,
issue is
they
that nobody
deserve,
really checked in until
they,
after Christmas.
They yeah. do deserve a real, you know, round of applause, if yeah. you will, for doing that. Because this is risky, or at least you're putting it out there. You're stopping your league for a week.
And you're asking some of these top teams to play 2 extra games during the course of the season.
Which is, as you know, I mean, is
well,
so huge.
Well,
in this
NBA,
today's day,
it's,
I mean, I know.
Huge, yeah.
I mean, but yeah. that just means, you know, they're going to have to take a day off in March. Man.
This guy.
You're like this guy. You're like this guy.
No,
it is fun. It is fun. Trevor Lawrence coming up.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
too much time is spent discussing talent's age. The younger demo is just as excited about a Paul Heyman or a John Cena or an Undertaker or Becky Lynch, or I don't care what their birth certificate says, they're going to draw a younger demo because they're fun to watch and they're great entertainers.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.